to Not a Single Bother with me, Aislinn Dowling. Hope everyone had a lovely Christmas and Happy New Year to y'all, lads. Happy 2020 feckin' too. I hope you had a lovely Christmas. If you're in isolation, sorry to hear, and I hope you made up for it afterwards. How is everyone doing? I'm happy to be back, but also not fucking really. Went on holidays, and honestly, do you know, sometimes I don't know if going on holidays is a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I loved it, but now it's really making me hate life. Like, do you know that kind of way? I came back and I was like, first day I was like, no, happy to be back now. A bit of routine. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Once that day was over, I was like, no, I don't want to do normal life anymore. Like, I want to be on holidays all the time. I'm going to constantly be traveling. But, you know, that's not reality. And reality hit me with a punch into the nose and throat. And I was back to work. But sure, that's life, lads. It's life. I'm positive vibes from here on in. Like, life is not that bad. I just have to get back into the swing of things. I've only been back to work now 2 days. So hopefully this week I will not hate my life so much, because it's really not that bad. It's actually not that bad at all. And I need to stop sounding like a little spoiled bitch. Before I go straight into things, this episode is proudly sponsored by FM Fragrance Parlor, which is run by the lovely Mary Timoney. Mary is based here in Sydney, where she sells designer-inspired fragrances, but she also has home and body fragrance, hair, skin, makeup, and even cleaning products. It's your one-stop shop for men, women, and unisex. Although Mary is based here in Sydney, she ships all over Australia as well as Ireland and the UK. I personally love her Flower Bomb inspired fragrance and the Sea inspired fragrance. They are absolutely amazing. They're so affordable and I literally carry them wherever I go. You can check out all her amazing products on Instagram at FM Fragrance Parlor and just send her a little message. Mary is so lovely. She's such a little sweetheart and is always so appreciative of every bit of support. So make sure to check out her business on Instagram. Also, if you have any questions or you want to try a new scent, Mary is always so happy to send you a little tester with your purchase. Thank you so much to FM Fragrance Parlor for sponsoring this episode. Anyways, back at it again. And this episode of the podcast, we are talking about moving to Australia. So I just decided, because I got a message over Christmas and my friend is moving over, and I just thought, like, lots of people are actually finally been able to come back into the country again. Lots of people are planning on moving over, and lots of people had a lot of questions actually, which is fair enough, because it's a scary move to move anywhere, not just here, but like, lots of questions, lots of things that y'all want to know. So I said, how have I not done this before? I had a blog post on this actually, which you will find in the link in my bio, but I was reading it the other day and it's like so weird reading back on it like that. I wrote that in my first year here, I reckon, or just after my first year, like just at the beginning. No, I think it was my, yeah, it was definitely my first year here. So different. So different. Like, I was on about traffic control as well. I was like, yeah, no, like, do you know, some girls do traffic control, but I don't. But like, if you want to do it, I'm sure it's very good, and I would just never do it because I don't have the patience for it. And here I am working in traffic control for the last, I don't even know, 2 years or something. Honestly, it gives me a pain in my heart when I think about it. But it's just, I lived a different life. Like, it's so weird how things change in just a small number of years. But anyways, I needed an updated approach to moving to Australia, and there's lots of different aspects of things that you should know. So anyways, less of the bullshit and straight into it. As I said earlier, I moved to Australia 4 years ago. 4 years ago this month, actually. 4 years ago, it's just coming up. I think it was the 17th of January when I moved here. So 4 years ago, I moved to Australia. I moved here with my ex-boyfriend at the time. It was just the two of us that moved over. And I actually didn't, I knew one person here. I was straight after college. I just finished my degree and I was working for a bit at home, just in a hotel. And then we moved over, and none of my friends moved over because nobody was ready. So we just decided, let's go. And we moved to, we came straight to Bondi, or in the Bondi area, Bondi Junction, booked an Airbnb, stayed in a few Airbnbs at the beginning, and then we moved in just the two of us. And I suppose that's one of the things that I would do differently. So because we came just the two of us, and I knew one person here, but that person wasn't in Sydney for the whole time, and also lived a good bit away from us when we were here. So basically it was kind of just us on our own, really. And that's one of the things that I would do differently, is the two of us moved in together, just the two of us, which was nice. Like, there was no bother with us, like, living together as a couple. Like, that didn't annoy me. Like, we weren't, like, getting at each other by living together. It was just that it meant that we both struggled to make friends because we were just living together at home. It took me a while to get a job. It took him longer to get a job. And yeah, that's what I would recommend people to do. If you're coming over as a couple, I would say at the beginning, first of all, stay in a hostel and possibly go and do your farm work first. I think those are two very good options for if you're coming over on your own or with a boyfriend, or maybe there's just two of you friends moving over together. I would stay in a hostel to start off with. I would go and get your farm work done first, because everybody would say that, is that I think most people would agree that it's a good idea to just straight away get the farm work done. First of all, just to get it done and over with, so that you can just settle back into Sydney or wherever you're going to settle into afterwards. And secondly, so that you can make friends. It's a great way to make friends. Like, all the girls that I'm friends with, like my friends from home, they came over 2 years after me, and they went and did their farm work together up near Cairns, and they were picking fruit and whatever, and it was the best thing that they ever did. Like, they made so many friends, and I just wish that I did that. I think that would have helped me so much in my first year here if I had went and done that. Like, so everyone makes good friends on the farm. Obviously some people have bad experiences, and also if you have any questions or if you want to know more about farm work, I have another episode called 88 Days a Slave with my friends while they were on the farm, just chatting all things farm work basically. So if you want to know more about that, you can listen to that episode, because I don't really personally have a lot of details about that, but it's just something that I would definitely advise people to do, and I think a lot of people would advise people to do that, is to go and just get that done first, get it out of the way. Then you don't have to be worrying about it. You don't have to, in the middle of the year, then pack up your shit, move out of an apartment or anything, and, you know, like, that's such a stress to do that. So you may as well just go and get that out of the way first. So yeah, so that's basically what I would have done differently, because I just found it hard at the beginning to make friends. Like, I think I was naive to think that it would be easy. I think you see people living abroad and it obviously looks easy, but sure, of course it does, because nobody's ever really posting the negative sides and the hard times of being abroad. I think more people are doing so now, you know, like, because there's more like influencers and stuff, people tend to share negative parts as well. But if you're just like an average person posting on social media, like, you don't post the days that you're feeling like shit. Like, naturally, most people don't. It's just not a natural thing to do. So when you're looking at it from the outside, it does look like, oh my god, I'm going to go to Australia, there's so many Irish people there, and I'm going to make friends in 2 minutes. I think it's because, as well, I had lived abroad before and I loved it. I lived in Spain and I lived in Malta when I was in college, and I made friends so easy. But that was because my circumstances were different. Like, I was thrown into accommodation where I was living with Irish people, or I was living with people in the same situation as me, like people that were studying abroad and stuff. Whereas it was just, honestly, it was just completely naive of me to think that it would be a walk in the park to settle in and have this big group automatically, when, sure, how did I think that that was going to happen if I was just living with myself and himself in an apartment? And as well, like, you either make your friends in work or with the people that you live with, like, mainly. And then obviously bits outside of that, like joining clubs and things like that. But initially it's through work or living with people. So obviously living with people, was, we ruled that out already. then I was working in a cafe, and I did make friends there, and they're so lovely. They were lovely, lovely girls. But they were Australian, and they were different situations, different scenarios. They had different lives to me, but I was still good friends with them and whatever, but it was just different. Like, it's kind of nice to make friends with people who are also on the traveling scene, who are basically backpackers, who have just moved countries, who are on the same vibe, like, who are just, you know, like, all those girls were living with their families, like, you know, it was just different gravy. So I suppose I didn't form the same bond or connection with them as I did with people that I met further down the line, if that makes sense. So yeah, that's just the main things that I would say, and that I, when I think back on my time moving over, I wished that we, as nerve-wracking as it was, and as much as I thought in my head, like, no, I don't want to stay in a hostel, we could have gotten a private room in a hostel and just met some people that way. And just, you know, because when you go to hostels, like, all the people that are staying there are on the same vibe as you, like, they're doing the same thing as you. Obviously you're not going to click with everyone, but more often than not, like, you'll meet at least one person and you could form a great bond with that person, like. And I think it is definitely harder to make friends as a couple, possibly, depending on maybe the type of couple that you are. Like, if your other half is quite shy and reserved, it may make it harder for you to make friends. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that. Maybe I'm generalizing in saying that. But like, it is definitely easier to make friends when you're with your, like, another friend, I feel. So I would consider either staying in a hostel or finding an apartment and sharing with people for the first while. Like, you can always move out again and get your own place after you get more settled. But I think it is just nice to be around people, because it can start to get quite lonely. And I think I definitely felt super lonely in my first year here. Like, I miss my friends so much, and it really felt like they were all my friends from home. Like, it felt like they were doing loads of stuff together, when in comparison to when I was at home, I felt like, because we were all in different places, by the way, and then I saw them, like, going to Amsterdam, and they were doing a few other things, and I was like, why are you all doing these things now that I've moved away? But like, it wasn't even the case. Like, they were like, it's not like our, it's still the exact same, we're just going, we've went on like one or two trips. Like, you're not missing out on anything, but like, it just always feels like that when you're away, especially when you're feeling lonely. So yeah, it was definitely hard in the first year. Don't think it's not going to be, like, you're completely brand new. You're settling into a new country, new lifestyle, new job, new friends, new people around you, new everything. Like, everything is new. So it is going to take a long time to feel completely comfortable. Like, I think it came in the question box that I did on my Instagram. People did say it takes at least a year to settle in. And I've heard that loads of times since that. And I think it is true. Yeah, I do think I didn't really feel fully settled until a year in. And that it was a year in when I decided, okay, I'm going to stay on longer. I was like, right, perfect. I definitely want to stay. Like, after I went home, got my visit out of my system, I was like, right, grand, I'm happy to go back now again, and I think I could stay there longer. So yeah, I would agree with the comments that came in saying it takes about a year to feel fully settled. So just be aware of that. Other things I would say, join the GAA if you are a GAA person. Even if you're not, you can still join it. Now, I didn't, and I haven't played GAA since I was literally a teenager, like my young teenage years, like 12, I'd say, was probably the last time I played GAA, and they missed me so much. It was a massive loss to the team. But join it. That did give me fear, because obviously, like, I'm not good at it, and I wouldn't be adding anything to the team, like, so that just gave me fear, because I was like, oh my god, there's people from all counties here playing in these teams. It's basically like fucking an All-Ireland team here, like, people of all skills and level, the best, some great players from every county in Ireland are joining together to play in these teams. Like, it just gave me anxiety, but there was no need. Like, it's not it's not that competitive. You can go just for the trainings, just for the crack. You don't have to play the games. You can do whatever you want, but it's definitely a good way of meeting people if you're up for that. So there's loads of GAA teams that you can join. You can find them on Irish Around Sydney. Like, if you just post on Irish Around Sydney that you want to join a GAA team or you want to go to a training or something, there's loads of them, and they'll add you into like a WhatsApp group or something, because I know I was in one at one stage. I'll talk more down the line about making friends as well and how you can do that. But those are just my tips and the things that I would have done differently when I moved here in my first year. Then as well, so obviously, so that was with my ex-boyfriend. So we broke up after a year of being here. And I just think maybe that's another thing to note as well. Everyone jokes about that, like, do you know when you meet new people, like, you're meeting new people all the time when you do traffic control, and it's the same crack of like, oh, how long have you been here, and who did you come over here with, and blah 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 blah, and you just get chatting about your story. And obviously I'm like, oh yeah, I came here with my ex-boyfriend, blah blah blah, and everyone says the same thing. Like, everyone will say that they know of so many people that they broke up with their other halves or their partners or whatever when they moved over to Australia. Like, it is definitely a common thing, and they do say that like Sydney or Australia will break you up. But I don't think it will break you up. I just think that it, like, if you're in a strong relationship and you're going to last regardless, like, it's obviously not going to affect you, but it definitely does weed out the weak relationships quite quick. Like, 100%. You just, because obviously you're coming from Ireland, I don't know what way your relationship could be, but like, you know, if you've known each other from home, you might have met when you were younger or something, and you're just coming out of your comfort zone. You're then living different lives when you're over here. You're kind of finding yourself a bit more, as cringy as that sounds. But I think the main thing is you're just taken away from your comfort bubble at home, and then you're just plopped into this new life here in Australia, and it just highlights that maybe you're just not right for each other. Whereas I'm sure you like those kind of relationships probably would have broken up down the line anyways, regardless. If, like, let's say if you stayed at home, you probably would have lasted a few more years and then realized, okay, actually we're not made for each other, we're not actually in love anymore or whatever. But I think it just weeds it out a bit quicker here, because you start to realize it faster. Maybe you weren't living together at home and you're living together here now, and life is just different here. Like, I suppose there's lots more single people here. Like, there's lots more opportunities here. Life is different. Like, you're kind of, especially at the beginning, like, it's like you're on a little long-term holiday. So yeah, you just might just realize that actually I don't really want to be in this relationship anymore. Not that that's what happened to me, but like, that's just what I feel happens to some people. Like, the amount of times when you talk to people and you're like, yeah, same, I came over my ex-boyfriend too, and blah, 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 blah. It's so common. Like, I think everyone says that. Like, I'm trying to think how many people I know. Quite a few, to be honest. I think at least 3, 4, 5. Like, I know, so I don't know how many girls I worked with, and they were like, yeah, same, came over with my ex-boyfriend, now I'm with somebody else. So just be wary of that. You might come over with a boyfriend and you might have no boyfriend in a year's time, which is grand. And I'm laughing now, but breakups over here are hard, especially if you're living with a person, which a lot of the time you more than likely will be, because it is out of ease as well as other things, but like paying rent and whatever else. Like, it is a lot of the time easier to live with your partner. Like, things definitely move a lot quicker over here for some people. That's obviously not the case for everyone, but it is quite common to just naturally just live with your boyfriend over here, because rent, etc., etc., just makes a lot more sense. So yeah, that definitely makes it a lot harder when you do break up. Yeah, so that's just something to note. Like, you don't have the comfort of going home to your home house, just talking to your mom and dad and sitting on the couch and watching TV and pretending like it's not happening. You don't have that luxury over here. So yeah, that's just another point of how things are not that easy over here. It was probably the shittest time I ever went through, actually, to be honest. Like, I've spoken before about, like, struggling with my mental health. Like, I struggled with my mental health before that and after that. But definitely in the middle of all that, like, regardless of what reasons we broke up or who broke up with who, it doesn't really matter. Like, when you're breaking up with someone and you're going through that whole process, like, I know it's up and down and whatever, some parts are easier than others, but like, when you move over with someone especially, it's very hard and it can be extremely lonely. And none of my best friends from home are over here at the time. Obviously my parents weren't here, so it was a shite, very, very shite time. And I'm not one for change. I'm definitely not a woman for change. I'm not good with change. So even though it was obviously the right decision, but it was hard. So just, that's something to note as well. It's definitely not all fucking roses and sunshine and beaches. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining outside. If you're having a fucking shit time, you're having a shit time. But it's not always shit. It's not always shit. Okay, so before leaving, right, I've covered all of what I would do differently and my experience and blah, 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 blah. Before leaving, obviously you have to apply for your visa. So that is fairly straightforward. I think I did mine with Visa First. If you go onto my blog, I think I have a link for Visa First there. Most people should have that done if you're already talking about moving to Australia. But if you don't, you're applying for the work and holiday visa. It's literally simple. You just put in your information and you'll get it accepted probably within a few weeks. I'm not sure now if there's different things that you have to do because of COVID, but that's what I had to do and it seems to be fairly straightforward. Then packing. Lots of people ask about packing and what to bring. So basically the biggest thing that I would note, and it was like a secret or something, nobody told me, that it gets cold. Like, it gets cold and it rains. Like, I think one of my main reasons for moving over here was because I wanted the year-round sunshine. It doesn't exist. Not in Sydney anyway. Not in Sydney or Melbourne. Maybe if you're living in Queensland or something, or Darwin or something, but like, nobody really lives permanently in those places if you're moving over from Ireland anyways. So I don't know why nobody really talks about that, but it rains and it gets cold. Like, it gets cold in the winter time. So yeah, you will need to bring some jackets and bring your jeans, bring a few hoodies. Also, obviously you can buy these things over here, so if you don't want to bring them, don't bring them, but obviously have a few. But yeah, just bring jackets, bring jeans, bring your long tops, and obviously pack your summer wear as well. Basically just bring kind of the same wardrobe you're going to have at home, like your winter stuff and your summer stuff. Like, that's basically what you need. You'll have a similar wardrobe to what you have at home. The only thing is, it doesn't get as cold. Like, that's actually what I miss about home, is the like winter fashion, like the big massive fur coats and, you know, like the winter jackets. Like, you wouldn't really be wearing them. Like, it doesn't get that cold for them. But like blazers and big jackets, but not like the heavy ones. Like, it will get cold, so just be aware of that. Yeah, that's all I can really say about packing. Like, it's completely up to you what you want to bring, but make sure you have stuff, especially if you're landing over in the winter time and you're thinking it's grand, sure, I'm going to Australia. Like, I remember telling myself, like, no, it only gets down to like, what did I think it got down to? I thought it got down to like 15 degrees. No, I don't know what I thought. Did it get down to like 17 degrees? And I was like, sure, that's a warm day at home. Sure, that's borderline roasting, so I'm happy out. But that's cold here. Like, that, you will need a jacket if it's 17, 18 degrees outside, cold. If it's 12 degrees, freezing. Freezing. So just be aware of that. But if you need anything, if you don't have anything, it's not the end of the world. You can buy things in Cotton On, Kmart, Glassons, order things online from whatever normal websites that you use. Like, it's not the end of the world if you don't have everything. You can buy things over here, but obviously if you already have stuff at home, you don't want to waste your money, bring it over. What else? Bank account can be set up very easily when you get here. So I'm with ANZ and I think they're really good, and you can also get your super set up with them. So your super is like your pension basically, and you have to set it up, like, but it's very straightforward. Like, the bank will help you with all this, and they'll ask you if you want to set up your super with them, and we just said yeah, it was just the easiest, most straightforward thing. they give you all your details, like you'll provide that information to your employer when you start working. It sounds more complicated than it is, but that will all fall into place. So you just go into whatever bank is near you, wherever you decide to stay when you get here. So yeah, you can just do, you don't need to do that beforehand, you can just do that when you get here in like your first day or two. You will need an address, so just use your like a friend's accommodation or the accommodation that you're staying at, and then you can change it when you're set up. Like, so if you're staying in a hostel or an Airbnb, just put that down, let them know that you're using it, and you might get a letter. I can't remember now, they'll probably send something to you. Oh yeah, your bank card and stuff will probably come to that address, but just go and get it. And then once you get your proper accommodation, just change it with your bank. That's fine. Next thing is your SIM card. SIM card, I would recommend, like you can go with anyone. There's loads of companies. I wouldn't recommend Vodafone. I think a lot of people would say the same. I don't think they're great. I was with them at the beginning, but I wouldn't really recommend them. You can go to Optus, but I'm actually with Aldi Mobile, and I think that that's probably, like, I'd highly recommend it, to be honest. You just literally go into Aldi, get a SIM card, $5 for the SIM card, then you can set it up online, like on your phone, and be set up literally within 2 minutes. There's no contract, there's no plan or anything, and you can pay $45 a month for 60 gigs, I think it's 60 gigs, and that works fine for me, like, and I use a lot of internet when I'm at work, so, do you know what I mean? If you don't want to set up contracts, like, you could be inside an Optus or something as well for ages trying to set stuff up, and it's a bill pay thing, and literally, you can just go into Aldi, get a $5 SIM card, set it up, boom, you're literally good to go. You just top yourself up on the Aldi app every month. All you have to do is literally like add your card details and press recharge, and it'll run out after a month. You'll get a text saying you're done, or else your internet will just stop working after the month, whatever, and then you just go onto the app, click recharge, and you're good to go again straight away. So I would recommend that massively. I think it's amazing, and $45 a month is so cheap, and like if you go over it again, you just top up again, like it's not a big deal. Do you know what I mean? Like some people pay crazy money for their plans. So I would really recommend Aldi Mobile actually. Looking for jobs. So this came in a lot, obviously. People have asked, like, is it better to look for jobs before you go over, or should you just wait until you're here? It depends on what you want and it depends on what you're doing. But obviously, like, there's no harm in... So also, as I said earlier, I would recommend going and doing your farm work first, right? But it's very, all these things are very depending on what you're going to do when you get over here. Like, what is your job? So it's hard for me to say, like, if you're going to do nursing, or if you're in a job where you want to get sponsored straight away and you don't want to do your farm work, then that's completely up to you. Or, do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's very hard to say. But obviously, if you do want to get a job straight away and you don't want to go and do your farm work straight away, that's fine. I would obviously recommend looking for jobs beforehand. Like, there's no harm in that. So getting on to recruiters, you could do online interviews just to get a head start, but have your dates ready, obviously. Joining Irish Around Sydney on Facebook, I think I already mentioned that, and you can post on there. You can literally post anything on Irish Around Sydney and get an answer for it. Like, it's really, really helpful for anything. So you can post that you're looking for a job, you're coming over at whatever X date, and there's lots of recruiters on Irish Around Sydney as well, so they will get in touch, or somebody will pass you on to a recruiter, or just ask for recruiters in general. And yeah, you can start looking for a job when you're at home. Because I think online interviews are probably a massive thing right now anyway, sure, because of COVID. So yeah, it's probably a great idea to do that. Also, you might want to take a bit of time when you come over here and just have the crack. Like, you might want to go and start a job straight away. So you might want to just take 2 to 3 weeks. But then again, I suppose it is definitely good to get a head start, because you might be looking for a job for ages. Like, you could honestly be looking for a job for a few months, depending on what type of job you are looking for. So it's very hard to say, like, it really does depend on what jobs you're looking for. Like, you, if you're a nurse, I'm sure you could start a lot quicker, like, because you might be doing agency work. If you're a teacher, it might be easier for you. It depends, really. Like, I'm not sure. It's hard to make a blanket statement about getting jobs. But also, I've had a few people asking, is it hard to find professional jobs? Like, meaning like office jobs or accounting jobs or stuff like that. I wouldn't say it's hard. I definitely wouldn't say it's hard. But I suppose, again, I would say it's probably a better idea to do your farm work before you settle into like a business type job to get it out of the way, so that you don't have to tell them that you're leaving. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're not going to sponsor you, then you will have to go. If you want to stay longer, obviously, then you're going to have to go and do your farm work. So it's obviously just easier if you don't have to tell them that. Also, I'm sure you probably know this already, but you do have a 6-month limitation for working holiday visas unless you're in some certain sectors. I think if you're in the healthcare sector right now because of COVID, I think that 6-month thing doesn't matter. I think the same is for childcare, and I think the same is for, I'm not sure, but you can look that up online. But some sectors, the 6-month limitation doesn't apply to you anymore. But most sectors, it still will apply. So just be wary of that. Like, that can definitely hinder you at the beginning to find a job, because you may not be employed because of that alone. Like, they'll ask what visa you're on, and you'll say you're on a working holiday, and they obviously want someone more long term. So for them, employing someone that's only able to work for them for 6 months just isn't really appealing for them, which is really, really annoying. But if you just keep looking and keep searching, you will definitely find something. Like, everyone does. I know that when we first came over here, like, my ex-boyfriend did so many interviews. He was qualified in computer science, and he did a lot of interviews and was turned down a lot of times because of his visa. But eventually, just word of mouth and chatting to a friend of a friend, he was able to get into an Irish company. And yeah, he was happy out then after that. So it's just a lot of looking. Like, you might be very lucky at the beginning, or it might take you a while. So just be aware of that. Also, check if your job is eligible for a sponsorship. And when looking for jobs, it's definitely a good idea. And if you do want to stay on and get sponsored, ask at the beginning if they consider a sponsorship and that you are planning on staying here long term. Because obviously they might think that, you know, you're just a backpacker and you're going to up and leave straight away. So just let them know, like, that you're not going to be leaving. Like, you're not just going traveling and leaving Sydney again in a month's time or something. Like, you might be doing that, but if you're not doing that, then let them know that your plan is to stay here long term and you want to find a job, a long-term job and stuff like that. So let them know that at the beginning and put sponsorship on the table at the start if that's what you want to do. Obviously, they'll have to see you at how you are as a worker before they'll sponsor you, but like, just see if it's something that they consider. Like, they mightn't do sponsorship, they might say no straight away, so maybe then it's a good idea to just look elsewhere. Is it hard to get sponsorship was another question, which is also a very hard question to answer depending on what your qualification is. But I'm presuming that you've researched and your job is something that is eligible if you're asking. Like, teachers, nurses, trades and lots of other jobs are eligible. So it's just important when looking for jobs that you let them know that you do intend to stay here long term, as I said, and that they don't just think that you're a backpacker. So it's hard to say if it's hard to get sponsored, because it depends on what job you're talking about. Like, I can't really say no it's not when I don't know what job that you're talking about. But generally speaking, I presume if you're asking, your qualification is something that's eligible for a sponsorship. So yeah, I'm sure if it's eligible, you'll find it if you look hard enough. Do you know what I mean? It might take you a while, but hopefully you'll be able to get sponsored. I don't know, it is very hard for me to answer that question when I don't know what specific career you're talking about. Oh, also, actually, another thing to note, companies may also say, like, that they will sponsor you and then down the line turn around and say, oh, actually, sorry, we can't. which I know has happened to people and has really fucked them over. So just be wary of that too, as well, if time is ticking on. Like, so if you've taken a job because they've said like, yeah, we'll definitely sponsor you, blah blah blah, and time is ticking and you need to like lodge your sponsorship, or you need to make a decision about like your next visa, just make sure that you start asking like soon, like that you don't let time slip by and then they turn around and say, oh, actually sorry, we can't sponsor you anymore, and then you're left with not enough time to like sort out another visa. Do you know, if you need to go and do farm work, that you haven't left yourself with enough time to do it. Just be a little bit wary of that, like ask, keep asking like about the sponsorship once you're in the job for a few months. Like, just make sure that like you let them know, like, I need to lodge this, we need to get going with this for my visa, because that has definitely happened. So just be wary of that as well. Next thing is where to stay. So lots of different types of questions came in about that. So first I'll just talk about where to stay. So the eastern suburbs are where most traveling people live, like the Irish, UK and Brazilian, and literally everyone lives really. So I live in Ranwick and most of my friends do as well, but you can live in Coogee, Bondi Beach, Bondi Junction, Maroubra, Mascot, East Gardens, Waterloo, Rosebery, and just those general areas. Botany, I'm trying to think, just all the general areas in the eastern suburbs, but like the top ones are the ones that I have listed there. And then I suppose for when you first move over, just to get a proper feel for the place and be closest to the beach and like the crack, I would definitely recommend Ranwick, Coogee and like the Bondi Junction area. So those would be my top three, I think, for when you're first initially moving over here and you're just trying to find your feet. Like, you want to be around the crack and you obviously want to be close to the beach. Like, I presume that's kind of why we move over here, like to have a nice lifestyle and to live near the beach. So those ones I would recommend as my top three. The other spots are not that far from the beach, but it is nice to be walking distance or like 20 minutes on the bus to those areas when you're in your first year here. That's just my opinion anyways. People have asked, oh no, sorry. So a bond, just be wary that you'll have to pay a bond, which is like a deposit, and that could cost you between like $1,000 to $1,800. Like, it really depends, but just in and around those numbers. So just be wary of that. Like, that's going to be a chunk taken out of your savings when you come over, and that's what you have to pay for your accommodation. You might not have to pay a bond if you're just getting a room in a shared house. You may not, but like more often than not, you'll have to pay a bond. So just have that in your head as well. Places go pretty quickly and you definitely need to view places first. So there's no point in looking for permanent accommodation until you get here. And definitely don't rush into a place. Like, you will most likely have to furnish a place from scratch unless you're just getting a room and you're sharing with people. So don't rush just for the sake of getting a place. Like, I know that I've definitely done that in the past. Like, you get like kind of itchy feet and you're sick of living out of a suitcase and all that jazz, which can be really, really annoying. But like, in comparison, it's nothing. Like, it's just an extra week or an extra 2 weeks of living out of a suitcase to make sure that you get a place that you're genuinely really happy with. Because once you're in a place and you've paid the bond and you've signed a lease for 6 months or a year or something, like, you are stuck to the place, so you want to make sure that you're happy with it and that it has everything that you need. Check that it has everything you want, like light and airy, that it has aircon if that's what you want, that's clean, there's no cockroach issues. A balcony is always really nice. It's my top thing now when I'm looking for a place, is to have a balcony. Laundry facilities, I don't have that in my place now. It's downstairs, like 6 flights of stairs, and that really pisses me off. But it's just something that I didn't think of when I was moving in here. I was like, oh, be grand, but it really does irritate me. If I was ever moving again, I'd make sure that there's laundry facilities in my apartment. Also that it's close to the shops, especially if you're not planning on getting a car. Just be aware of where your nearest Coles or Woolworths is, like your nearest grocery store. Because you will be lugging the bags back, or you'll have to get on a bus or whatever. But just be aware of that. Like, that's just a little thing to note. And obviously close to transport for going to work and whatever. So just noting all those different things. That might sound obvious, but it's, you might forget one or two things and you'll think, oh, that's grand. And then when you move in, you're like, oh, that's so annoying. So yeah, there's no point in really looking for permanent accommodation until you get here, because you have to go for viewings. Like, I definitely wouldn't be taking a place without looking at it. Especially like if you're getting a full apartment, especially, because the pictures you see on like real estate and all that are completely different, like, to what you'll see on in person. I mean, like, if you go to viewings and you're thinking, what, like, this does not look like the pictures at all, that can happen a lot. So definitely you have to go for viewings. And also, even if you're just getting a room, like, you need to go to the apartment and you need to see what it's like, and you need to check out the housemates. That's a massive thing as well. You need to check out the housemates and see if they're your vibe, because that was a mistake that I made as well. When I did break up with my ex-boyfriend, I definitely moved into a place too quickly afterwards. I just wanted to get a place because of the way things, like, the breakup was fine, whatever, but I just wanted to move away, like, because we were living together and I wanted to find a place and whatever, and I just didn't put enough thought into it. It was so stupid looking back. I didn't think too much about who I was living with. I just thought, like, yeah, perfect. The room looks good and the area is fine. But, like, I was living in a place then. There was nothing wrong with my housemates. They were so, so lovely. But they just weren't my vibe. Like, you know, I didn't click with them. I wasn't going to be chilling on the couch with them, having the crack with them and chatting with them. And it made things way worse for me. Like, I was already going through a shitty breakup, a shitty fucking lonely, very down time. And just because I didn't think about who I was living with, it made me feel so much more lonely. So just another thing to note is make sure that you kind of suss out your housemates. Like, all these things now that I'm in hindsight talking about, I'm like, that sounds so obvious, but you can just have itchy feet. Like, you want to get things done straight away and you just don't think too much about things. But, like, once you're stuck to a place then, and you've done the moving and you're there and it took so much time to move, you're like, oh my god, as if I have to now look for a new place. Like, so just make sure that you think of all those things. Next thing then is furniture. So you can get such good bits from Facebook Marketplace or Irish Around Sydney, and you can actually surprisingly do it relatively cheap. If you keep a good eye out for things and make offers, then outside of Facebook Marketplace and Irish Around Sydney, Kmart is literally your savior. You can literally pick up everything in Kmart, like all your duvets, your pillows, your cutlery, your pots and your pans, everything. Kmart has everything. So all those bits you can get from there, and it's really, really cheap, like really, really cheap. You can rent vans through an app called Car Next Door to go and pick up some furniture. So that's really handy as well if you don't have a car. And what else? I feel like I had something else to say. Oh yeah, I have a highlight actually saved when I moved into my most recent apartment, and I just have like all the little bits that I picked up. So if you want to just get like a general idea of what it's like to move into a place and the types of bits you can pick up and how much things cost, I kind of just did a light run through of that when I was moving in. So I have that saved to my highlights, just if you want to have a look at that to get an idea. Where to look. So you can just Google apartments in eastern suburbs and everything will come up for you on real estate, domain. And also, if you're on your own or even if it's you and a friend and you're looking for a shared situation, then you can find so many rooms on Irish Around Sydney. That's probably your best bet, really, if you're sharing. Yeah, Irish Around Sydney. Just post on Irish Around Sydney that, like, oh, it's, I'm a whatever girl, I'm a 26-year-old girl moving over from Ireland and I'm looking to share. Do you know what I mean? Like, just post whatever and you'll get, I'm sure, lots of comments and messages saying, we've a room here, etc., etc. So that's probably your best bet if you are sharing. And what else? Yeah, so if you've any questions or looking for a room or jobs or just general questions, you can post it on Irish Around Sydney. Obviously, you can ask me as well. I'll happily reply to you and give you an answer if I can. But obviously, I can't answer everything. Just post on Irish Around Sydney. Don't be afraid to, like, that's literally what it's there for. It's really, really helpful. So yeah, so join that if you haven't already. Next thing is making friends. So if you are coming over on your own, it's definitely not as easy as it seems, and I've talked about that already at the start. But the best way to do so, if you don't make friends in your job, as I said already, make sure you're really picky with who you live with and only live with people who you think that you will gel with, because it's so nice to live with people who you enjoy coming home to and then can easily do things with then, and then you'll make friends with their friends and blah, 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 blah. Like, because there's honestly nothing worse than coming home or like kind of dreading coming home when you don't like who you live with. So just, I know it's hard to like, how do you really suss someone out in a viewing, but like you know yourself, like you can kind of generally get a general gist if they're your vibe or if they're definitely not. Like, you may not end up getting on with them, you may clash with them, honestly, who knows, how much can you tell from just a general viewing, but you can get like a little bit of an idea. And also just weigh up your options, like go to as many viewings and make sure to meet the people if you can, and just kind of see from there, like weigh up your options, don't just go with the first apartment that you see. So that's definitely one thing to note. Then, as I already said, join the GA teams. There's loads of them. And then the next thing is Caroline from A County Down Under. You may have heard of her already. If you're talking about Women to Australia, you may have come across her page on Instagram. But if you haven't, follow the page straight away. They do sunrise socials where groups of people meet up to watch the sunrise and then they go for coffee after. And the whole purpose of these was to set up, sorry, the whole purpose of this page and the whole reason it was set up was so that expats could meet up and make friends and basically just to fight the loneliness of being away from home. So like, I would have loved this when I first moved over here. It would have been so, so helpful. It would have been exactly what I needed in my first year here. So I would definitely recommend heading along to one of those to meet new people, especially like if you're not a GA person, it's a great idea. Like if you're not a sporty person, then this is like the best thing you could do. That's literally the sole purpose. So everyone going there is in the exact same position as you. So don't be nervous to go there. Caroline also organizes lots of different events to bring people together. And she also has loads of valuable information on her page and on her podcast all about life in Australia. So if you don't follow her, A County Down Under, follow her on Instagram and you'll be flying. And there's, I think they have a separate Instagram actually for the Sunrise Socials. So you can follow the Sunrise Socials Sydney page. I wish that was around when I first moved over here. So other things to note, I feel like I've covered all the main things. Honestly, I could keep going. There's so many different random bits that I'm sure I'll think of after. But other things to note are, you'll get fined for everything. Honestly, if you're driving over here, you will get fined for everything. So just be wary of that. Like there's so many speed cameras on the roads, red light cameras, parking fines. Like, I know that you can only, I think this is such a gas thing. Like you're only allowed park facing the way of the traffic. Sorry, how do I explain that? Like, do you know the way at home in Ireland? Like you can literally lob the car wherever. You can't do that here. And it's just things that you wouldn't know. Like, I remember when we first came over here. So how would you know? Unless somebody tells you, you don't know these things. So you have to, you'll get a fine if you do it any other way. Like all the cars have to be facing the same way, basically. So that's just a small thing, but it definitely catches people like at the beginning. Yeah, so just like, even if you're like the rangers, like they will catch you. So if you're parking in a place you need to get a ticket, get it, like, or else you could be literally paying $250 to $400. Don't park in a no stopping zone, even if you think, okay, I'm just going to run in for something here. Just don't do it, man. You'll be down $400. So they love fining people here in New South Wales, so just be wary of that. Another question I got was that they're thinking of doing a road trip to Cairns from Sydney. Is there any restrictions? Currently, no, there's no restrictions. You can go to Queensland as of now, as of me recording this podcast right now. Things change all the time. But as of right now, you can go to Queensland. You just need to fill in an entry form and have a negative COVID test. But I think you can just get a negative antigen test, but please research that before you go and just make sure, but you need one 72 hours prior. So just Google that and keep an eye for updates. But as of now, you are allowed to go, so that's fine. Also, I have a blog post about my East Coast trip if you need information on that. We actually flew from Sydney to Cairns and then we drove all the way down. So I have a detailed blog post on everything there if you need any information on that. That's on my website and you can find that in the link in my Instagram bio. Oh yeah. This came in the question marks as well. And it's so true, because it's one of the main things that I miss is an Irish Chinese. Like, lads, I'm sorry, but prepare yourselves. If you love a Chinese, and I'm sure you do if you're coming from Ireland, you're not going to get it. Like, you're not going to get it for a long time. And you have to come to terms with that, because it makes me really sad. Like, it's the one thing that I miss. So, no, not the one thing that I miss, but it's up there with what I miss the most about home, is a solid Chinese. To be honest, you know, as the years are going by, I'm like, the food over here just isn't that good. Like, it's not like, it really, really isn't. Like, the standards are just not the same as Ireland. Like, Irish food, the quality of the food at home is chef's fucking kiss. Like, it's very good. I mean, the food here is not bad. Like, obviously I've gotten amazing food, but in comparison and in general, Irish food is way better. And I'm not just talking about like chipper food or whatever. No, chipper food is amazing at home. But like, even if you go to a lovely restaurant at home, a Carvery dinner, like, even, you know, any, just any pub grub, good, like a nice restaurant, way better. I'm sorry, but it is, lads. And I feel like everyone thinks the same. I really do. I think everyone would agree. Irish food is better. The food over here is not bad. It's really nice. There's lots of amazing restaurants. But the food at home is better. So just be aware of that. It gets cold and it rains a lot. So we already talked about that in regards to what you should bring. Because I feel like, honestly, people really don't know that. When it rains as well, it friggin' pours. Like, it might rain for like a week straight and it'll piss rain. So that's something to note. Another person said, yeah, it takes at least a year to really get settled. We've already talked about that. Another thing, ground floor apartments are more likely to get spiders, which is something that I didn't really think about, but it makes a lot of sense. But also, lads, you might get a spider regardless. I'm sorry, but you might, because I live in the top floor and I've gotten a spider in here. But to be fair, I do think that the spider came up with the claws. I think the spiders have come up with the washing and we didn't notice. How though? If I'm taking the clothes off, how did I not see? But it could easily happen. You're just throwing shit into the basket and the spider might have been on it. I do think that's how. So I do think that person is right in saying that, because the spiders are out in the downstairs area, like near the trees and the bushes and stuff. So yeah. But also, cockroaches, you might have an issue with cockroaches. Like, we always get a few here, which is so annoying. They're so disgusting. They're so honestly disgusting. So you'll need to get some Mortine spray and whatever, but just be aware, lads, you're moving to a country with spiders and cockroaches. But don't let that put you off. If you're scared of spiders, I'm sorry, please don't let that be the reason that you don't move over here, because I know that a lot of people always reply to my stories if I post one about spiders. They're like, that is literally why I will never move over there. You really don't see them that often, and it's rare that you'll see the ones that are going to be poisonous. Like, there's big huntsman spiders, but they don't actually do anything. They're not poisonous, but they're just obviously not the most, they're not the cutest. They're not the cutest looking animals that you'll ever see. I'm trying to think of other things now. I feel like, I hope I have everything covered. I covered everyone's questions anyway. I think the main things to note really are, yeah, it's just be aware that it's not going to be that easy. You're going to get lonely. You're going to miss people. Also, if you don't settle in, give it time though. Like, don't, if you're not settled in after like 3 months or 4 months, don't give up. Like, stay. If you want to go home, if you're really, really homesick, let's go home. Honestly, don't be embarrassed. Nobody gives a shit. Like, it only affects you if you go home or if you stay, whatever. Like, go home if it's not for you. Like, I know that, you know, like, it is a big move to make, and I'm sure that is definitely something that crosses people's minds. Like, they've gone to all the effort to move over here, and they might be a little bit embarrassed to admit that they actually don't like it here and they want to come home. Who honestly gives a fuck? If it's not for you, get on the flight and go home. Like, it, what you do makes no difference to anybody else. So if it's not for you, it's only a flight away. But definitely give it a chance. Like, don't just give it 3 months. You have to wait it out. Like, you're gonna always, like, I'm here 4 years, and you're gonna have your ups and your downs. Like, I know, like, that it looks amazing. It looks amazing on everyone's Instagram stories, like, because we're always posting that we're at the beach and we're on these boat parties and we're on nights out and whatever else. And it is, obviously, it is great here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, do you know what I mean? But, like, as the saying goes, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Like, we literally, we work all the time as well. Like, I work so fucking hard, lads. I work all the hours that God gives me. No, but, like, I do work, loads of people work loads. Like, we work 6 days a week. Like, if you're in construction, you could be working 6 days a week. You could be working 60 plus hours in the week. Do you know what I mean? Like, but nobody posts about that. So don't get it twisted. It's not always boat parties and sunny days. There's going to be days when you miss home. There's going to be days that you're feeling like shite. There's going to be days when you're thinking, am I making the right decision in being here? Especially now that it's COVID times. Like, I'm still in that kind of limbo phase because my visa doesn't allow me to go home yet, which is so stupid. I'm on a bridging visa. We're waiting for our sponsorship to come through, but for some reason bridging visas aren't allowed to leave and come back. Like, we just still have to wait, even though we've been waiting just under a year now, which is really annoying, and I don't know when that's going to change. But, like, you know, there's loads of times when I'm in limbo and I'm thinking, what am I actually doing here? Do you know what I mean? Like, so you are going to have those feelings, and you're going to go from being like, no, I'm loving it here and I made the right decision. But trust me, like, you're going to have times when you feel like shit and it's not that good. But not to be depressing, there are loads of good times, and it is an amazing country to be in, and there is a great lifestyle. But yeah, it's not all easy, I suppose. Also, oh yeah, if you have any questions about doing traffic control, I do have another episode. Myself and my friend Ellis have an episode on that. So if you're interested in doing traffic control at all, I have another episode, and you can listen to that one if you want more details on that. And then obviously listen to the other one about farm work. And yeah, if I haven't covered anything, or if you have any questions that you'd like to ask me, or anything at all, please do message me. Like, I will happily reply to you. And yeah, I think that's everything. I really hope that I've covered everything now. I tried to sit down and write everything down, but honestly, there's so many things that you could be thinking of about moving here. Like, there's so many different things to think about, like, because especially because it's been 4 years since I moved here, it's hard to think back to things that I would have liked to have known when I first arrived. But I think I've kind of covered everything. Everything will work out, lads. Honestly, everything will work out. It seems very stressful at the beginning, but once you get your apartment and once you get your first job, it's all uphill from there. I hope you have a safe flight if you are coming over. It's very exciting. Best of luck. And if you have any questions, honestly, please don't hesitate to ask. Also, make sure to follow Caroline on Accounting Down Under. She provides way more information than I will ever give you. Also, if you have any visa questions, follow True Blue Migration and they will help you. Obviously, as I said already, Irish Round Sydney will help you. There's loads of people here to help you. There's a massive Irish community here, and everyone is so nice and everyone is very helpful. And all Irish people, as you already know, will always help you if you're in need. So yeah, that's it. I feel like I'm rambling now. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.